up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of All Over VoiceOver with Kiff VH. I'm your host, Kiff VH, and today I had a wonderful conversation with Dan Zitt and Julie Wilson, who work for Penguin Random House in the audio division, and they tell me about this platform that they've developed called ahabtalent.com, or Ahab, that you can access through ahabtalent.com. And I don't want to steal the thunder, but I think it's something that every actor, every VO actor, if you are in audiobook narration, or you do animation, video game, commercial, name it. If you're in this space, Ahab is another platform for us to interface with content creators, and in particular in the audiobook world, but they're expanding it beyond audiobook, and it's totally free, and it's a really elegant site. I'm so excited to have the conversation. Here we go. So Dan was just telling me about the volume of books that you guys are in the process of producing. Like, has production ramped up for you in a way, or has it been a kind of a steady stream, or is it a combination because you're launching the platform? Like, what accounts for the increase?
I think, you know, PRH Audio is always kind of increasing their volume slowly but surely. It's been a kind of a steady increase. I feel like the last 2 years we've gone up pretty significantly, right, Jules? And
yeah,
you know, I think anytime there's opportunity to take on more books that are going to sell in the marketplace, you know, we really want to be out there and buy them. You know, like, we're trying to take every opportunity to produce the books that are suitable for audio that we can.
Yeah.
You know, so with us especially, that's kind of challenging because, you know, we're, even though we're so big, we still run the division, and I run this department as a boutique publisher still, you know, so like we talk to our authors and we, wow, you know, we read the books and we spend a lot of time, you know, working on casting with our authors. And, you know, because of that, I think it really, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It's great, yeah, for our authors, but it's also a lot of work.
Fascinating. Wow.
Yeah. So,
well,
you know, we're increasing staff too, which is great.
That's fantastic. Is it just like, well, there's so many questions I want to ask you. So I'll start off with, I've pre-recorded the intro, so we're already in, we're diving in, and I'm here with Dan Zitt, who's the Senior Vice President of Content Production for Penguin Random House, and with Julie Wilson, who's the Senior Manager of the Digital Production Platforms at Penguin Random House. And I'm just thrilled that you guys are taking the time out today to talk with me and with our audience and share with us about what Ahab is and about your place in the business. And I know, like, I teach a fair amount of voiceover, and a lot of my students are always fascinated in particular in the audiobook world, because it's always felt to me somewhat mysterious in terms of how to, you know, kind of break in or to grow and enhance your experience. And once you're in, you're kind of in a really interesting way. But I'm curious, like, how did you guys find yourself? We'll start there. What's your background? Like Julie, where are you from originally?
Sure. I'm a born and raised New Yorker.
Awesome.
I'm still in New York. I'm very loyal to this city. So I've been hunkered down here since the beginning of all this, and
wow,
seeing how the city comes together during times of crisis. But I got into the audiobook industry. I, Dan and I both started kind of in similar ways, and also both a very, very long time ago. I started as a junior in college, as I was actually Dan's intern.
No
and
kidding.
I was splitting my time between the producer group under Dan and the marketing group. And every other week I would alternate and, you know, doing all sorts of stuff that you do as an assistant, like uploading web clips. But I really came to strongly admire the producer team. Awesome. I love their relationship with authors. I love the creative stuff that they were working on. I was just like, I was enamored by that. I was like, I have to become a producer. And basically, once I graduated, our still publisher today, Amanda DiCerno, invited me on as her assistant. Dan poached me back onto his team. Uh-huh. I became a producer, grew into more management roles, and now I'm doing more strategic and creative stuff with Dan and the rest of the team, including Ahab. So that's long and short of it.
Amazing. That's so cool. I'm personally entering the producing world right now. I've been producing a ton of things, but this conversation is personally fascinating as well. So it's very exciting to talk about that particular path and what's involved and how you are like the rocket fuel behind these projects and bring them into life. It's really, really exciting. Dan, what's your background? Are you from New York as well?
So I grew up in a great neighborhood right across the river. I could see Manhattan. I could probably see where Julie grew up from my neighborhood. I grew up in West New York, New Jersey, right across the river. So it was basically like being in another borough of Manhattan in some ways. My path to the audiobook world 25 years ago at this point started when I was 19. I was in college and I wanted to be a writer. Uh-huh. And I was lucky enough to score an internship at Penguin Books. And what happened was I applied for an internship. I was like, oh, I can, you know, figure out what editors do, maybe become an editor, maybe at some point publish a book and be done with it.
Yeah.
And they stuck me in the audio department, which was so small. It was like two people. And really, that was only a part-time job for them. And I worked in the audio department for the summer. And when I asked the head of human resources, why did you put me in audio? And they were like, well, it says that you DJ on the weekends. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not DJing, Hemingway. So why put me in audio? But what I found out very quickly was that audiobooks were going to become a passion of mine because it was this marriage of books and films and creating this new kind of entity from the written word. And I fell in love with it immediately, mostly because the access to authors and actors that I loved, I was able to gain so quickly. Spend a lot of time talking to your authors and I got to cast celebrities and people that I loved. So at the end of that internship, at the end of the summer, I got lucky. I was ready to head back to school and the head of the audio division said, my assistant's leaving. Why don't you come be my assistant? And I was like, but I'm 19. What am I going to do here? And he's like, well, just finish school at night. And I was going to school right across the river at a small state college. And I said, what better way to learn publishing to start working? So I went to school at night and worked at Penguin Audio, producing books and assisting an editor there for 3 years. And then Random House called me and then the rest is history.
Wow.
And I've been at Random House for almost 23 years.
That's so cool. Well, tell me from your perspective, each of you, like what is entailed in audiobook production as a producer, like your task? Are you involved with book selection and that sort of thing and sorting that out and determining, or is it like, just how is the sausage made when it comes to an audiobook from your perspective? I mean, because when I come to it, it's like this, all these decisions have been made, the studio's set, you're one of four people we're listening to. Like, what's your process prior to that?
So it starts with the editorial group. We have a team of editors in audio who select the books. I mean, for the most part, we're doing as many books out of Penguin Random House as we possibly can. Anything that's publishable on audio, we usually record it. And then some things that might not be suitable for audio until we get a hold of them and work and adapt them and make them into audiobooks.
Oh, wow.
But what basically happens every year is, or every couple of months, is we get this enormous list of books and we all jump in, all the producers jump into a steel cage and we select the books pretty democratically, I'd say, right, Jules? I don't really kind of assign titles to my team at all unless I really think there's a special touch that needs to have from a specific producer, but producers, their job, the best way to kind of understand what they do is they're the liaison between the author and the process.
Okay.
So, after we have the books, we read the books, we kind of create what we think the voices in our head or voices, what the voices are in our head for a certain book. Then we get in touch with our authors and find out what they're hearing. Hmm. And starting that kind of creative dialogue, and I mentioned this to you earlier, we still, even though we're producing 1700 books a year, that author is our business and we're really invested in a collaborative approach to our production because we really believe that's what where you're going to get the best audio production.
Yeah.
So after we've spoken to our authors, we go out, cast the book, depending on, sometimes we deal with agents, sometimes it's celebrities, sometimes it's, we use Ahab a lot now to cast actors. Sometimes it's just kind of like, hey, Julie, who did you cast for a book you did 3 years ago that was kind of similar to this? I want to check them out and see if they're right. And sometimes our authors have great ideas.
Wow.
On, you know, I mean, what I found out over the last several years, and Jules, I'm sure you've had this in your experience too, is that authors now are so much more interested in the format and are listeners, which is completely different from when I started, when nobody, when you would talk to an author about audiobooks and they were like, I don't have time for this. You know, like, I'm writing, let me write. Like, I want to write books. And now authors are so much more engaged in this process. So it is really kind of like taking it to the casting process and then kind of getting all the pieces set up, hiring a director that we think is appropriate to work with the author on pronunciations, to work with the talent in studio. Again, something that's kind of unusual these days, not a lot of companies still using directors. But again, bringing all of these creative forces into a production, at the end of the day, it really does almost feel like a kind of mini film production. We have an enormous post-production team, not only internally, but an extension of that, all of the freelance resources we use. We have freelance editors, quality control engineers all over the world.
Amazing.
So as we're recording, goes up into the cloud, and somebody in London might be pulling it down and editing it almost immediately. So and producers kind of see it all the way through quality control and then hopefully win a trophy for it a year later.
Tonight at the audience.
Is the audience tonight?
But the one thing I would say is, like, for us, the trophy is, and I think every producer would agree with this, when an author tells you, like, I love my audiobook, like, that's enough for us.
That is more than enough. That is like the best moment of my year. And, you know, sometimes authors don't loop back after that moment in the process. They're really happy with your cast. But when you get those emails, and sometimes you get those emails where it's like a kid who's written to the author who said, I love your audiobook for these reasons. Or even an adult listener who writes to the author. And then the author is passing you along that note with their praise and excitement. Those are literally the biggest trophies.
I have
a folder of them that I save so that I can always look back at them. So.
That's so awesome. Oh man. Just to have that feeling of, you know, especially when you're dealing with a singular entity like an author, right? Like, they're trusting you with this thing that they've labored over that length of time. And as a producer, you're carrying that on your back and trying to protect the integrity of the piece and the story and the truth of it, and assemble the team that yes ands what they have established in their imagination. Like, that's such a, it's quite a responsibility.
It's really important. I mean, when we select directors, and we are, you know, Kelly Gilday spends a lot of time kind of training directors and talking to directors and making sure that, you know, when directors go into a studio, they know what they're doing and they know what's expected of them. Yeah. And, you know, and we want to make sure our authors feel as if every person that's in this process is invested, and everyone is. I think if you talk to our freelancers, they would feel the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Julie, what... Dan, thank you so much for that complete, it's a really complete overview of producing, especially for audiobooks. Julie, what does being a producer mean to you? Like, both nuts and bolts, but also like what gets you up in the morning, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan really encapsulated everything that we do from a big picture. I think I would have given you that same pitch. For me, I love my role for many, many reasons. I drink the Kool-Aid pretty hard, but the thing that I love about producing is it balances out the other more business side of my role. So I'd always say when I'm putting on my producer hat, that's like my creative hat. Of course, you're orchestrating everything, kind of like Dan said, you're choosing the director, you're choosing the actor, you're making sure everything goes smoothly. But you're also immersing yourself in writing and a story and in characters. Huh. And as Dan tipped to, you know, that's our origin. You know, we were writers. We both were writers. I was an English major. I was a creative writing minor. Huh. And the interesting thing for me is I also come from, my family comes from a theater background. So
awesome.
my dad was an actor for many years. He was an actor on Broadway. He was in musical theater. My sister was an actor for many years. I grew up in this artistic housing complex in Midtown called Manhattan Plaza, where it's all actors, directors, writers, painters, et cetera.
Amazing.
So for me, audiobooks has always blended my love of literature and writing and characters and understanding people with my family's background of performance.
Yeah.
And so I've always felt right at home in this industry. And I always think that's really interesting how people make their way into audiobooks or voiceover, I guess, in general, because it always just feels right once people end up here. And like, I also never would have said, oh, I'm going to end up in audiobooks. But now that I'm here, I'm so nourished by the work I do every day. And whether that's, you know, collaborating and co-producing with Dan, or reaching out to authors and getting them excited about my vision. And, you know, now that we have Ahab, the thing that's so exciting about that is we're able to share samples or auditions with authors via this casting platform, and it's so much more streamlined for them too, that they're getting more excited about what we're doing on the business side of things. So I get excited about so many different things every day. It's hard to pin down just one.
That's so great. Well, let's talk about Ahab a little bit. I've been aware of it for a while and subscribed, or it's not even necessarily a subscription, right? There's you know, I'm sure you're aware of the different sort of VO platforms that are available for different talent to sort of sites like Voices 123 and that kind of stuff. And what immediately captured my imagination and why I signed up on Ahab was how different it is from those settings, and that it's tailored specifically initially for audiobooks, but you guys are expanding, correct? I can stutteringly describe what you've been working on. Could you guys share with me a little bit more what your vision is for what Ahab is and what your goals with it are?
Yeah, so I'll start, and then Jules can tell you all about what we just launched and what our plans are. But
awesome.
You know, we started this site several years ago, probably over 6 years ago, as kind of an internet site. It was, you know, it came to me one day when I was walking in and saw a stack of resumes and photos. I still don't know why people submit photos for audiobook work.
You know, we have these photos. We just need to, like, if you, I remember putting my headshot on my demo reel, same thing of like, at least you
it's
put
like
a
confetti.
Yeah, that's, it's actually, it is confetti. It's just, it's a colorful explosion of me in a stack.
We would receive tons of these things and CDs of people's demos constantly.
Yeah.
And at some point it just made a lot of sense to me. Like, we're going about this all wrong. Every time I need to find an actor, you know, I've got to make 35 phone calls. I've got to, you know, depend on agents. I've got to, you know, like, why don't we let the actors come to us? So, you know, actors love to show you what they can do when you talk to them. You know, how many times have you been to an audio event? You walk up to somebody who's like, hey, I'm Jim, and let me tell you something. I have an amazing voiceover. You know, and you're like, all right, you don't need to do that. But like,
it's not even an event.
Right.
Yeah. It's a restaurant. Yeah. It's a bar. Wherever you are, if they know you're an audio producer, it's a performance.
That's right. Oh,
but
man.
Like, where can we kind of house all of these things?
Yeah.
So we created an internal database where actors could just go upload a profile, kind of LinkedIn style, and just give you as much information about themselves as they can. And then Julie came onto the platform and we took it to a whole new level. Like, the idea was to create something that was at least more extensive in terms of all the knowledge that we can learn about actors, but then make it more of a practical tool where we can actually accomplish the things that we somehow, like, as our list expands, we don't have as much time for. And how can we make ourselves more efficient in the casting process?
Yeah.
So having all that data is really useful when you're searching for someone that, you know, a Brit who can do a French accent, but also can sound like he's from Southern California at any point in a book.
Yeah.
You can type all that in and it will spit out some results of some people who have put that in their profile. And it's useful, at least from as a starting point. You know, Jules, why don't you talk about now, like, a lot of the things we've built together over the last several years that I think are really important.
Yeah, one of the things that I always love about our team and about Dan's leadership is the collaboration and the innovation that always goes on. Huh. Like, you know, audiobooks have been profitable enough that luckily we have a little bandwidth to try new things. And Ahab was one of those things that began as an idea that sprouted in Dan's mind. And like, brought me on, and then we've been sprouting things all over the place since then.
Amazing.
So it used to be, it started off as basically a search tool. The actors had profiles and there was a search, and it was a very carefully catered search, and the profiles were useful. What we've expanded into is we have a whole now audition side of the platform where content creators, producers, casting professionals can post either public or open call auditions. So private's like, oh, there's three actors that I want to audition for this. Open call is anybody who's in the platform who's well suited.
Wow.
And from those, you can whittle those down to your top, what we call top candidates. And this whole process, what's so cool about this is what we were doing before Ahab existed, but we were just using spreadsheets and email and Word docs and all of these other very inefficient ways to cast and audition.
Yeah.
And so now, once we have our top candidates list, our favorite people, we're able to send those samples to people outside of the platform, which for us is primarily authors.
Yeah.
And then they're able to weigh in and say, okay, out of these five, I like this person. We're able to click a button and hire them.
Amazing.
So that's like, that's where we were for the past like year plus 2 years or so. And now we've invited on agents onto the platform. So now they can view their client submissions, their offers, they can field offers for their talent, they can view the public job board, they can send lists of clients to content creators, they can message with content creators. So again, mirroring what we do offline, we also have a whole messaging system. So if I say I go into your Ahab profile and I think, hey, you're really good, but you say you can do a French accent, but I don't see a sample of you doing a French accent, I can message you and say, hey, I'm like casting for this right now. I think you'll be perfect for it. Can you upload a sample with your French accent to your profile so I can send it to an author? So it became this like wonderful collaborative ecosystem. Again, collaboration is such a key word on our team that we have agents on there. We have content creators on there. We have actors on there. And I guess I have left out the one big thing that we've now expanded outside of Penguin Random House, and content creators from all over the world, from all walks of voiceover, can now cast on the platform, hire on the platform, audition on the platform.
Amazing.
And Dan and I are both sponges for information. And over the past few years, we've been meeting with so many different people from areas of voiceover and just learning what they do and what they would want out of a platform like this. I think that's the thing that's really, one of the things that's really distinguished us from these other platforms is we really want to know what you hate, what you love, like what you want. And then that's how we've been able to build it into something that's intuitive, that feels like a community, and that gives like all those three users, actors, agents, and content creators what they want out of the platform. And we're continuing to do that. Every time like someone new comes on, I say, email me. If you see something on there you don't like or something on there that you want, let me know. I'm not saying I can give it to you tomorrow because development takes time and money,
right?
But we'll keep it in our back pocket for when we can.
And I think, you know, the difference, Julie tipped to it, but you know, look, we came at this from a completely different direction, right? We're not a bunch of engineers who said, oh, we can figure out how to take 10% from every actor on every transaction they make in our site. Like,
man,
this came out of a need from a creative place for us, you know, and as we build the site, you know, and every step of the way, you know, we're extroverts, and I think it's really helped us because we go out and we talk to everybody. Like, if we go to events, we're talking to agents, we're talking to actors, we're talking to, you know, people who work at different types of companies where they're casting, and just finding out like what it is they want from a casting site, right? And we try to kind of like pick and choose all the things we think are best and implement them into the site so that it's practical and functional, and obviously it's free. So that really helps tons of people. And more than anything, you know, look, we have to face actors every day. That's our job, right? So like, we're building this not only with our, you know, with our needs in mind, but hopefully with theirs in mind. Because, you know, the one thing that we know, we have friends who are actors. I've been in this industry long enough that I have a lot of good friends who are actors. I've seen how casting websites and this industry in general can take advantage of actors.
Yeah.
And one of the things when we've been building this all along is like, you know, the barrier to entry has to be low because you know what? We want to create opportunity. Like the whole reason we could have kept this tool to ourselves forever.
Sure.
Then we would have been casting, you know, several hundred books in a year. You know, we want everybody to be casting books in here so that there's an ecosystem where actors can actually be discovered for the first time.
Yeah.
From a content creator, and they don't have to pay half of their fee to the site in order to get that work.
Right.
Like, so the idea has always been to democratize that process a little so that, you know, I can discover an actor who is doing like local theater in Indiana somewhere,
yeah,
who might be perfect for my book. So you don't longer have to live on the coasts,
right,
in order to actually partake in this industry.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a lot about that. And it is, you know, although we at some point were like, oh man, I can't believe we're going to let this out to the world. But in all reality, like, we do feel like we're trying to provide a service, not just for ourselves, but for the industry, because like, there's just too many problems in the way people are cast these days. Mm. And then the last thing, very quickly, because yeah, I'm going on and on, I just don't want to tip to you, is like, also Jules brought up auditioning. And I've said this for the last several months, I've been saying it a lot lately, you know, for actors, auditioning is working, because if
that's
you
right,
don't get that gig the first time, you may be discovered and kind of like put into a list, into a producer's profile. And like 3 weeks later, you might get a call, say, hey, you know, I have something that's right for you. So like, auditioning is working, and it's a lost art in the audiobook industry. This is something we did 20 years ago, a lot of. We would bring people into the office. We'd sit there for half a day auditioning. The volume of programs went up in the audiobook industry, so people stopped auditioning. It was just like, hey, Kiff's great, call him, let's get him in, let's do it. But the problem is, you know, like, we have to provide a service to this industry too. We have to find the next crop of great audiobook narrators. We have to find the next crop of actors and try to break some people in and train some people and groom some people to be the next great set of actors. And I think auditioning helps do that.
I 100% agree. I mean, there's so much to take in, and like I was on today looking for, where's the catch? Where do I pay? Where's the paywall? And the fact that it's just a service to unite us, not some gatekeeper standing in the way between you finding the people you need and us being able to provide those services. It's huge and like deeply moving, like, just because you get so accustomed to getting hit everywhere for everything that the price of entry is always a consideration. And previously for new, both VO performers or want to be audiobook narrators or people who've got the skill. And like, I mean, so many of my students, in particular, my older students who are not Los Angeles or New York based, who've got a beautiful studio and this warm, lovely voice and are really terrific stage actors and just want to be able to sit down and read a book. But the cost of entry then was also learning how to produce it for ACX for pennies, you know. And I mean, nothing wrong with that service. I've done my share of work on there to help learn the skill set, but it's also like, you've got to become an editor and your own quality control without coming out of your pocket. So to provide this kind of a service is, I'm just, you know, just on behalf of my audience and all voice actors, just tremendous gratitude to you guys for thinking that way and for hearing, you know, the actors and other folks who've expressed what they would love to see from something and then making it happen. It's really, really, thank you. It's awesome.
You're welcome.
You know, what's the general process are you going off of reels? Do you prefer to hear auditions? Do you like hear an audition and then go look at, go listen to reels to back it up? Like, if someone is, I mean, in the audition phase, but if someone right now wants to go to, it's ahab.us is the web address, right?
And that was the former address.
Ah, that's like, the former address.
If you go to ahab.us, you will get brought over to our new address, but we're at ahabtalent.com.
Ahabtalent.com. Great. Great. So, someone who's listening to this show gets done and they're like, they like it. Thank you for your star rating. And then they go to ahabtalent.com. And, what do they experience? What can a new voice actor expect to, starting the VO way and then producers as well?
Yeah. If you're an actor, the thing that you will definitely need, to create a profile is two samples. So, 'cause of course we don't know what you sound like just by details on your profile.
Right.
So everyone needs two samples. And that could be from any area of voiceover work, especially now that we're expanding into other areas of voiceover. So once you have those two samples, whatever they are, whatever you're comfortable with, you upload them to your profile along with like your language capabilities, what types of age range you can do, Are there any like regional dialects you can do? Hmm. Where you're from? What's your general bio? What are your interests outside? We really want to know, as producers, I do want to know you as a full person. And like, maybe that's, again, tipping to Dan and me being extroverts. But I want to know who you are outside of the booth as much as I want to know how much who you are inside the booth. And part of that is also, at least as an audiobook producer, this long form content, you need people who are experts in certain areas at some point, especially when it comes to nonfiction. Like, for instance, if you are really into, who knows, golfing, and you might know a ton of terminology or things that I don't know. So that might be a reason why when I do like a search in Ahab and find you, I'm like, oh, this guy loves golfing. He'll be passionate about this book and he has a great voice. In terms of samples, I'm sure every genre of voiceover work is different. For audiobook work specifically, I say every sample should be about a minute and a half long, no more. That's my preference. And it should be very, very specific to what you're trying to show us. Mm. Fiction sample, nonfiction sample, first person, third person, kids book. Is it a specific language or accent, et cetera? Because what we're doing is we're using those samples to pitch you to authors. Mm. And so if I send an author of a nonfiction book a fiction sample, they are going to be very confused. Because one, that's not their wheelhouse. And also, it's not accurately portraying what you would do with their book.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that specific sample on your profile, I might have to be forced to do an audition, or I might have to skip over you because I'm not getting presented with the right information.
Right.
But I think also, if you worked in audiobook work, throw up your audiobook work. But if you worked in video game work, put up your video game work, animation work. These genres actually cross over in a lot of really wonderful ways. For instance, if I'm casting for a full cast audiobook, this kind of short form content is more similar to animation work and yes, video game work
absolutely.
Than it is to long form audio work. Cause I'm just hiring you for a character to do certain lines of dialogue.
Yeah.
So put up as many clips as you like. I'd say the more, the better. There's never too many in my opinion, because every single book that I'm casting for is very different. So that's kind of like getting yourself set up anyway, as an actor in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's great. So like, gather your clips, adjust them and be specific and target what you want them to be. And don't be afraid to put your character reels up. That's really great. Awesome.
And, yeah,
awesome.
Just to follow up, I mean, you started with, you know, what are people looking for? And, you know, in terms of, is it samples? Is it audition clips? I mean, you know, I think Julie's right. Like it is definitely, we producers discover in all kinds of ways.
Hmm.
And the great thing about the site is all the search criteria and the search engine behind it we're able to kind of like search for very specific things all the time. And I think that's one of the great benefits of this site. You know, if you happen to be a racquetball player and I'm like recording a book about racquetball, I might drop that into the keyword search and you might surface. And I think that's an important thing. Sometimes you might not be right for the book, or you might be exactly what I'm looking for. Right. But yeah, I think all producers are using it in all kinds of ways. And Jules and I on a consistent basis are always like, oh, I never thought of using the site that way, but now I'm going to try using it that way. So that comes up all the time. We're still learning about our own site. A lot of ways.
That's so great. That's so great. How many, are you at liberty to say how many people have already signed up or are part of your, already in terms of your talent pool?
We're getting close to 10,000.
Wow.
Which was like, we're getting really excited. I don't know if I think we've probably crossed the threshold this week. We haven't gotten our numbers in yet.
Uh-huh.
But I think we're right around 10K.
That's amazing.
Close to 10,000 in over 67 countries.
That's incredible.
Not simply in the US. I mean, a great majority of our users are in the US. The UK, Canada, and I would say what, Australia maybe, Jules?
Australia's really, yeah, it's growing. Also, the Spanish language market's growing. And I think what's really cool too is from not the beginning, but almost the beginning, we invited in our international colleagues. So we have colleagues casting in the UK and Canada and Spain, Brazil, Australia, India, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of crossing borders there. And Dan and I last spring when COVID set in, we're all miserable at home. We're all disconnected. Yeah. We're all missing our audiobook community. We dreamed up this thing called the Ahab Breakdown, which is a free monthly web series, live web series, where actors can come and ask us questions. And we interview different voiceover experts from around the voiceover industry.
Amazing.
And so it's a great way to bring everybody together. So we actually just did an episode on crossing borders where we invited on content creators from the UK and Canada and talked about how you can break into other markets. So it's another way that we're trying to inform our user base and inform our actors how they can expand their repertoire and get work and get hired.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It goes back to that community aspect from the beginning, because, you know, it's not just simply about getting tons of people into the platform. It's about training, you know, helping educate groups of actors who have no idea what audiobooks are.
Yeah.
Right. And now for us to learn more about some of these other industries. So, you know, it's been one of the best things we've done since we started the platform. Like, just, we're constantly talking to our users to find out, you know, what it is they're thinking about, and then bringing experts on to help share their knowledge of their industry. I mean, next month, Jules, we're talking about self-care, and taking care of your instrument, your voice.
Oh,
and
we'll brilliant.
Have basically a doctor on to talk about that with an actor who's read a ton of audiobooks. But, you know, it feels like, again, being engaged with our community in this way helps us kind of like figure out what the next step for Ahab is.
Mm. Yeah. And maintaining that dialogue to continue to let to work together the way you guys have brainstormed and explored different ideas. The more people you bring into that brain trust, help contribute and help it continue to grow. That's fantastic. How can people get involved in those? Like, if you sign up on the platform, you'll get notifications of when the next breakdown will be and that kind of thing.
So what you'll have, it's very easy. So all you have to do is, when you sign up and get an account, you just have to sign up for our newsletter.
Okay.
And so then you'll get a monthly email right before a week before the breakdown that says, hey, the next breakdown's happening. It announces what the topic is, and it gives you a link to where you can sign up. Currently, all of our signups happen on Eventbrite.
Okay.
And then all past episodes are actually available on YouTube. So you miss the live show, you can still catch it. The things that you don't get if you miss the live show is you don't get your questions answered.
Sure.
And also, we always pull up an actor onto what we call our virtual stage. So, and that's our way to like pull someone in from the community, ask them a bunch of questions about what their background is, what they're hoping to accomplish. I don't know, make them feel a part of it. And I feel like that's one of my favorite parts of every episode. I think people get excited because, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
That's so great. That's so great. Oh, man. Well, look, I mean, this process, I mean, just knowing how many folks are already on it really highlights too the importance of getting really specific about what your skill sets are so that you can, you know, when someone needs someone who is a racquetball specialist or whatever, things that you don't necessarily think are important will definitely help bring you help the producer find exactly who they're looking for. And so that, like, I know for myself, I'll go into like sign up for a thing and be like, do I really want to go this deep into it? But just the taking that extra time, it's part of the job, right? And like helping to make all that stuff more clear. Oh, it's so great. Do you guys work with agents as well? So like, for example, if I get connected through the interface and I've auditioned for a thing, you're like, great. You know, you guys will work with the actor's agent and make that process smooth. Some people are like, you know, afraid to go after audiobook work because it's not necessarily in the scope of their agent. They don't want to piss somebody off. Like, what's that aspect of how you work with folks?
So, you know, if you're an actor and you have an agent for a certain discipline, you can put it in this platform. And if you know, I know some actors have agents for some things, but not others.
Sure.
But if you're an actor who has an agent or is not using their agent for audiobook work, you just kind of put yourself in there and you will get the direct offers from content creators.
Great.
And the direct offers for audition opportunities. If there's an offer, if you have an agent and we send an offer to you, it will get sent to your agent directly. Your agent will be able to get in contact with whoever that content creator is.
Great.
And we're not doing any kind of transactional stuff on the site, you know, that all gets kind of taken out of it.
Yeah.
At that point, and a content creator can make an offer from the site. And that's really where we kind of like paused on that stage of development. And we're like, you know, we don't really want to get in the middle of all those transactions.
Yes.
Right now we just want to make sure that, you know, the tool is like, oh, you've auditioned this person, you like them, you want to cast them, you can send a message through the platform. And the great thing now is that there is a messaging platform within the platform where you can communicate with agents and they can communicate with you.
Amazing.
Via this kind of instant messenger, more or less.
Awesome.
So it really kind of helped be a little bit more efficient with both actors directly and with agents. So even when I'm working with an actor on an audition, they may upload an audition. I may see the audition and just hit them up in the messenger saying, hey, can you do some other things with this? Because like, this is good, but I think you can probably push it right over the edge if you do this. And they can re-upload another audition with some of that communication. I think we've seen a lot of really good positive stories on our side where a producer is like, you know, I'm going to direct this actor through the platform to get the best performance I can out of them.
Yeah.
So that when I'm submitting these clips to my authors, they are the best they can be. So yeah, a lot of that, it's all there. I mean, the platform works. And as Julie said, we're kind of like building it in iterations. And someone asked us last week, like, well, what's the 5-year plan for AMP? And what I said is, actually, we're not looking ahead to 5 years, because every time we plan 5 years ahead, we've already kind of like, we change our mind 3 weeks in because we talk to our community and we realize, you know what, that's not really important. Why are we focused on that? What people are interested is in this. Yeah. So, you know, this idea that you've got a 10-year plan for a website is crazy. Like, we're really invested in the idea that, like, in every iteration of it, we're going to then talk to our community, find out what their roadblocks are or what are the things they would like to see.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably go develop that in that direction.
Oh, man. Amazing. Well, I mean, this, like, as I've already said, you know, I really appreciate this opportunity to have such direct access to the opportunities that you guys are providing, and that you've thought to include such a broader group of content creators as well. And it's just, it's very exciting. So it's Ahab Talent. I'm saying it's totally wrong.
Ahabtalent.com.
Got it. And go to the website, but you can also follow it on social media as well. As how can folks get in touch with you directly if they have questions beyond what we've covered, or that kind of thing? What's the best way to reach out to you?
I always say, I mean, come to our breakdowns. Like, there's a question. So when you sign up for the breakdown, there's a place that says, do you have any questions for us? And that's a place, great place to give us like questions, feedback, because Dan and I look over that every single month, and whether or not it's like site feedback, we'll look it over and say, okay, we need to incorporate this, or we'll answer those questions live. Yeah, you can also, if there's any like thing hinky or any questions you have, you can also contact our customer service line, which is customerservice@ahabtalent.com. Okay. Dan and I are also active on social media. You can follow us there, post your studio selfies, tag Ahab Talent, those handles, and we'll repost your photos too. So
awesome.
Those, and at least for me, those are the best ways for that.
Yeah, I totally agree with Jules. I mean, social is a really great way for us to get to talk to our community, but follow us on social, because, you know, before we kind of launched this version of the site, pre-COVID, we shot tons of educational videos with all of our producers on staff. People have been doing this for 20 plus years. We brought actors in to talk about like some of the leading actors of the craft, right?
Yeah.
So like John Lee is one of them, and you know,
Cassandra Campbell.
People that have been doing this for a long time to talk about things like preparation, things like characters, things, you know, things that actors have questions about and how the experts handle them. And if you follow us on social, you'll start to see a lot of that in our social feed over time. You know, we just launched our social feed a couple of weeks ago. So, you know.
And all of those are also on our YouTube channel. So YouTube channel is Past Ahab Breakdown Episodes. It's also all these tips and tricks. So either, I think Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube are our big socials right now.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And one final question that came in to me while you were sharing this. I was transitioning out, but another question came in. I'm sorry. For actors who are in the who have studio challenges, is there how do you address that with actors who are like maybe their home studio is 80%, or they, you know, like when I was working on the book that I booked through Ahab, you know, I have Pro Tools, and he was able to control that through Zoom out of New York. So like, you know, what recommendation do you make for actors who are in the process of trying to get their studio up, and what minimum system requirements should they at least have before they submit themselves? You know what I mean? They don't just have an iPhone or a Snowball. Yeah.
So we just literally had an episode, was it two episodes ago, Jules?
That was, yeah, I think it was two episodes ago.
Great.
Which was Tech Talk. And it's one of the best episodes we had, you know, like when we got into, when we were kind of like planning out what our year of episodes was going to be for the breakdown. Yeah. I was like, we're going to have to do a tech episode. And it's going to be the driest episode of the breakdown we have. And it turned out to be the complete opposite. We had three very experienced tech leaders in the audiobook industry come on.
Amazing.
And talk about what a good starter studio is, a good way of just kind of getting yourself set up for success. And we also have a one sheet that our team has developed. And we're going to post it at some point somewhere so everyone can see it, which is just like good introductory specs for anyone, even with products, with like inexpensive products you can buy to kind of get yourself started, all the way up to like more expensive advanced products.
So
we will at some point post that for every narrator and let you guys know where that's at. But look out for that on the breakdown. We'll make sure that we kind of tip to that. But fantastic. Yeah, I would say that starting with that episode is really worth it because, as I said, you never thought, like, we get so many tech questions all the time.
Yeah.
And you could have 50 engineers in a room and you'd get 50 different answers. And that's the one thing you always have to realize.
Yeah.
But there are now with technology, some really good kind of like inexpensive, even plug and play USB mics and things like that, that are useful for, hey, I want to create a demo and I'm just going to kind of do it in a quiet part of my house that you can get online now that I think are really useful. I mean, I know a lot of people go out and buy Yetis and Shure mics that are $100-$150. And those are great starters. You plug them into your computer and go. And then as you kind of evolve, you know, get yourself an interface and, you know, don't think you need to buy a Neumann and, you know, and Pro Tools tomorrow.
Right. Right.
Because that's just not, you know, we're getting so much more flexible about how we record things and technology is evolving so quickly that, you know, you don't need top of the line gear to start in this industry.
And if you don't have top of the line space, like if you throw that mic into a noisy closet, it's a waste of time and money.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, look, I mean, if you get hired for Penguin Random House for a book and you don't have a great home studio. I mean, look, in times of COVID, we're not forcing anyone into a studio if they don't want to be there. But we do use commercial studios that are very safe, approved by SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah.
You know, if you happen to be somewhere where there's a recording studio nearby and we love your audition and we want to hire you, we'll find a way to get you recorded. And I think that's what most of this industry will do.
Yeah.
It's not simply just making sure that you have a completely thorough home studio. Audition for books if you're an actor, and we'll figure. And if we like you, we'll figure out a way to get you in a studio.
Amazing. Man, Dan, Julie, I can't thank you enough for taking time today to sit down and talk with me about AhabTalent.com and about what you guys are offering and the opportunities you're creating. Thank you so much. This was really, really enlightening and just a great conversation.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Make sure your audience knows, like, reach out to us on social. We want to keep talking. So
absolutely.
Anything you see or hear or you have questions about, reach out. We might not get back the same day, but we will get back to you eventually.
Absolutely.
Very fair.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And thank you, audience, for listening. And there'll be more content coming up soon. Peace. This has been All Over VoiceOver with Kiff VH. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please go to iTunes and give us a positive rating. It truly helps. Follow me on Twitter at KiffVH or on Instagram at KiffVH or on Vero at KiffVH. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon. Claim victory and depart the field.
Werewolf?
There.